Did you want to give you like a brief introduction onto who you are and what you do, where your expertise lies?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Reese Evans, aka EV Pro. I actually started out as a DJ. A lot of people won't know that, but from about, let's say, 16 to 18, 19, I was playing the under 18 circuit where I grew up in Essex. I've always had, you know, both feet, one in music, one in video. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, my dad would always film me and my brother unwrapping presents at Christmas. And then, so I'd always just start gradually over the years, start playing with a camera, doing little bits, then get my own camera, making some YouTube videos. And it just, the path sort of weaved between each of them. But yeah, I started off as DJing. And then the big sort of shift over was I was studying at sixth form college, studying media, and there was no practical. And I was like, I didn't want to do this. I'm a practical learner.
Right, so, yeah, same.
Yeah, so I left sixth form, went to college, and I actually applied for the radio course. And when I went to like the induction day, they're like, oh, we haven't actually had enough people apply for the radio course, so we're not going to supply it this year, but we've got the space on the TV and film course. I'm thinking, oh, this is perfect. This is great. You know, it's still something I'm very interested in. Mm-hmm. And this is when I'd say my DJing was going quite well. I was doing some stuff on the mobile side. I hadn't broken into the over 18 stuff just yet, but it was a lot of the times when, you wouldn't get away with it now, but you'd have parties where it was like 16 plus and you do two different types of wristbands. So you'd have one for the drinkers, one for the nons.
Yeah.
So I was doing a lot of them parties. So it was starting to sort of cross over and I was sort of, you know, learning the ways. I think I had, was my first DJ decks were like a pair of the Numarks that just never stayed in time.
And then, belt drive or direct drive?
No. They weren't turntables, so CDJs. So the Numarks CDJs.
Oh, okay, right.
So I would say I kind of learned on that. Yeah. And then I eventually took the plunge. I was earning decent money at the time. I had a good part-time job, saved up and got some CDJ 400s. And then from that point, I was like, yeah, going for it. And then, yeah, as I say, went to college, went into video film, and we had access to equipment. We could hire equipment out. So I'd done a couple of videos, I think, for a couple of promoters, like very little stuff, just like testing the waters. And I just messaged a Facebook promoter, said, hey, do you want an after movie? Turned out to be the biggest house promoter pretty much in the county. And I guess from there, 10 years later, here we are. Yeah, been very, very fortunate. I never thought I'd be able to do this as a full-time job, and let alone like where I am now. So yeah, I'm a videographer. I guess now I've merged into more of a creative consultant, but I'm a multi-passionate person. So, you know, I feel like I've achieved a lot of the stuff that I wanted to achieve in my video career. I have achieved. So for me now, it's like I've got other passions that I want to do, and there's other realms that I'm moving into that I've always sort of had a foot in anyway.
Yeah.
But now it's sort of time to, 2023, like, let's actually make something happen with these, because none of us are getting any younger, man. And I just feel like I don't want to look back in 5 years' time and be like, you know, I really wish I tried that. Like, I don't want to form to this narrative that sometimes people create, or people will put us in a box and say, no, you can only do one thing. It's like, okay, I can't.
Bro, you know what? We're definitely in that age where you don't have to be one thing. If you look at, like, taking it to the other end of the spectrum, like the far celebrity side right now, look at someone like KSI. Like, he's a YouTuber.
Even
he's
Idris Elba. Idris Elba, man.
Boxer. Idris Elba's a good example. He's an actor. He's a DJ. Does whatever he wants. Like,
producer.
Yeah, producer as well. Yeah. Crazy. It's it's mad. The internet's really opened up. You know what I do struggle with, and what I find like some people struggle with, is being good at everything. There's so much stuff that I want to do, but I just decide, you know what, I can't dedicate the time to be good at that. So I'm not gonna bother. I could be really multifaceted. I've got a few cards, do you know what I mean? But like, I could really do loads of stuff, but just be okay at it. But I'm not really set up that way. I like to be like very great at what I do when I can.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's something that I've sort of like the last since 2023. I really, and so every January, me and a lot of my mates, we're all like self-employed and we're all doing different things within the industry. We all take a big holiday. It's a really nice time to reset and just chat, and everyone sort of every motivates you coming back out of that holiday. I thought I just knew I needed to invest more in myself, so I bought on a business coach. Now, this is someone who has an unbiased opinion. They know who I am, and I've known them for a couple of years, but it's enabled me. It's almost a little bit like weekly therapy in a way, but like business related, to say, okay, well, this is what I want to do. Okay, well, how are you going to get there? I already know the answers to all the question, but having someone there that has allowed me to sort of plot out and say, okay, we're going to work on this week. Okay, we're going to work on this week. We're working on this to lead into this in 6 months. And it's enabled me to get into a position where I've really got sort of like a nice clear vision now of like where I'm going and where I what I want to do. Where probably for the last 2 years, I haven't had that. I really dislike my job, and I think COVID messed up everyone in a way as well. I think it's had an effect on everybody, even me from a standpoint. I was putting a lot of time into helping other people, and just not in that was not in a bad way, but just I took a step back and was like, I've not done anything that I wanted to do for the last 2 years. So now it's time to put Reese first a little bit, but
Yeah, I hear that. Business coach, that's quite interesting. That's like, and you know what you're saying, like you knew the answers, you just needed someone there to kind of push you at them. That's like having a gym partner. Do you know what I mean? You're going to the gym and you're working out. You know what to do, you know how to motivate. But when you've got that one person there leaning over, like, go on, like push free, you can get three more out of it. Got someone else telling you, like, then you've got the direction. How did you find your business coach? Because I find like, I think that's a great idea, and it, but it's something I've never considered because I get 450 million DMs a day from so many different people telling me I'm a business coach, I'm a social media consultant, I can help you grow your following, blah, blah, blah. Like all this just junk that comes in. Do you know what I mean? There's so much noise. So how did you find someone that actually, first of all, wasn't a scam? And secondly, was able to help you get results.
So I was incredibly fortunate, where the fact that it was one of my friends, it's one of the lads we've known for years. I didn't really know he offered that as a course. So when we were all chatting away, I was like, oh, like we spoke during the summer, and I was saying to the boys, yeah, look, I'm not in a good place, man. I'm not happy. I feel like I need therapy. And he's the one who said, no, you actually need a business coach. He never approached me with his services at all. It was actually one of our friends who's a very successful businessman. We were just chatting, and I was explaining the situation to him, and he said, I think you should, chat with his name's Jimmy. He's like, I think you should chat with Jimmy. Like, I've used him, and honestly, he's like made me make X amount more money. So like, and it's really helped mentally as well. It's not just obviously the money's great, but like it's mentally, I'm a lot happier now, and I know where I'm going, and so on. So yeah, I was very, very fortunate. I was a bit adamant at first because it's a friend, isn't it? At the end of the day, like it's you don't want someone's opinion to be biased in any way, but it's very when we're in that, there's like two different modes. It's like, and I think actually having him know my background, he's seen me since I started in Malia, so he knows where I've come from. He knows all the work I've done, and I think he can then see the potential that's there and know how I can apply that. But it's tough, man. I mean, I've heard from other people that have had like say therapy or business coaches that unfortunately sometimes you just have to try a few. So you have to try a few until, because it's a personal thing. It's like you've got to almost like synchronize, and you're not really going to know that until you try. So it's a tough one. I mean, you can obviously take people's advice. I mean, the ones that come through on the Instagram DMs, I don't know. I feel like you're probably better through like looking within your circle first, because some you'll probably be surprised. It's probably a few people that are probably have something similar to that you're probably not even aware of, because a lot of people don't put it out there because just the way it might be perceived and so on. But I think the whole conversation on therapy is changing anyway, and that actually is a really, really great thing, because a lot of us are, especially, well, just I mean all anyone really, actually we all just very stay in our heads a lot of the time, and we don't express ourselves and just say, oh yeah, this is what I'm thinking, oh, I want to do this. Like I think we all know people where we've like seen they've had massive potential and they've not capitalized on that.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, definitely. It's, I don't know, it's such a tricky industry to when you've got like, what's that phrase? hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And I do find like there are two types of people. And it's like people, actually, no, there maybe there's more than two, but generally, like I do see so many people that are very, very talented, but then they don't apply themselves. They don't have the drive to get where they could potentially get. And then there's the people that are getting crazy levels of success because they're just outworking everyone. And they're not even the best at what they do, but they just have a sick work ethic and they don't stop. And they just outwork everyone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's I mean, you've nailed it on the head there. I think it's, I know people straight off the bat where they're extremely talented, and I'm just like, oh, if you just put in that 10% more every day,
mm-hmm.
like you'd be even further away. Like where you are is sick, but guess what? If you put even more work, you'll be even further.
Yeah.
I think there's I don't know. I mean, I think in general, a lot of people don't work hard enough. I think people say, oh yeah, oh, I'm really trying hard, I'm doing this, but they'll sit and watch 3 hours of Netflix a night. Now, don't get me wrong, there's yeah. nothing wrong with that if you're happy with that, but you then can't, I feel like that then doesn't really give you the right to say, oh, I'm not where I want to be and I'm putting in so much work. It's like, well, actually, if you put an extra hour or an extra 2 hours in per night, which is nothing really in the grand scheme of things, that's another 8 hours or 7 hours a week. That's yeah, a whole another day worth of work per week. That's another 52 days per year. All of a sudden, imagine if you could put in 52 days more work.
Yeah, you've just added 52 days without really adding 52 days. 100, yeah, like
the devil's in the details. Like it's the it's, let's pinch this from Gary V, but it's micro changes. So small changes. Over time make a big, big difference. It's like they say, if you do improve 1% every day, within 3 months, you've improved like 100%.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, that little, and 1% is nothing. What is that? 1% can be something so tiny, like if you're, say, really lazy and you leave your plates out after you cook. Okay, wash them up. Now, when you come down in the morning,
I'm feeling very attacked right now. I can't lie.
Bro, I'm feeling attacked as well. I only said it because my housemates cleaned the kitchen last night and I felt really, really bad and come downstairs. So I was like,
Shit. Sorry, bro.
But yeah, I think it's it's going to blow a bit of my own trumpet in a minute. But I feel like when I really apply myself to something, like I knuckle down and like the passion's there. And I feel like when you work your best at something when it doesn't even feel like you're working.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Like you look at the time, you'll be like, oh my word, it's 1 o'clock. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to quickly do this. Like the other day, even last night, I was like working on a project at the minute. I was up till like 4 a.m., just sat at my desk from midday till 4.
Mm.
And a lot of people will be like, oh, that's super unproductive though. Da, da, da. But I felt bad even wanting to, I was so in that zone, in that flow state that I didn't even want to, you know, stop. I didn't even want to eat. And I feel like getting into that is just, it's all, yeah, I find it a little bit addictive, but it's sometimes hard to get into. But that's why I always like, you be the hardest worker in the room, man. When some people say to me, oh yeah, I'm working on this, I'm working on hard, I'm like, if I was in your position with the skill set you have doing what you do, I'd be so much further ahead. That's why I really believe I can. You just got to outwork everyone, man. You just got to keep at it. Just,
yeah, I think the difficulty applying that to the DJing side of things, I think the difficulty is knowing where to put your energy and what to work on. Like, I know there's a lot of young, like up and coming DJs that listen to the podcast that want to follow the right steps and they want to be the biggest DJ that they can be, but don't quite understand the path. There's no set path. That's the most difficult thing about this job. Like, I've said it a billion times on the pod, like, when you start a conventional job, you start at the bottom of the office, and by the time you retire, you might be the CEO or at least very, very high up. You're on the board. Do you know what I mean? And you're retiring with a six-figure pension or whatever. And there's a very set path. You are the worker, then you become the manager, then you become the building manager and blah, 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 all the way up. With this career, it's not. Like, it's literally like you kind of just hopping onto different stones, hoping it doesn't sink. Do you know what I mean? And like figuring out like, okay, well, like, what's the next move? And I think that's a very, very difficult part of DJing. We did an episode last week actually called Content is King, and I know you're very, very big,
very on big on content.
Championing content. But I think I do agree, and like I said in the last episode, like, it is important for DJs to get content out there. But what I do see is so much mediocre, just, I call it, it's content, but I just call it non-content. It's like a chef.
Oversaturating.
It's like a chef going on and telling you, right, I'm going to boil rice, and his content is flicking on the kettle. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the type of content some people are putting out. They're putting out very, very basic, just 4-bar mixes, which to them, if they're new beginner DJs and they're just showing off their progression and they're getting their cool. But I'm seeing like established club DJs and people that are really out here in the circuit putting up a mix that respectfully my son can do.
Do you know what, I'm gonna come for a lot of people now and stop going to pirate studios and taking videos of you just playing one song and fiddling with knobs. You're not showcasing. I get his content, and sometimes it performs well because people have obviously clocked on that, oh, if people hear a certain track, they're like, oh yeah, I love this track. And, like, everyone's done it now. Everyone's gone to pirate studios or similar studios and has sat down on the decks and gone, right, I'm going to play X amount of tunes and I'm going to upload a reel of just me, literally the build up and the drop. Mm. Like, that's not going to get you. Yes, it will do numbers. What's that actually? You always have to think about the message after. Like, technically, really, with DJs and when you're putting content out, your target audience is not fans. Your target audience is promoters, club bookers. People are going to see it. You want to impress them. So, like, simple, as you said, like with the mixes, like there's so many people now that are just doing a very simple, quick, you know, very, very quick, simple mix. It's like, okay, cool. What's that showcasing? That, you know, the basic elements.
Yeah, you literally, like I say, you know how to put the kettle on when it comes to boiling rice. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know the basics. All right, so I wanna play devil's advocate. I agree with you. I agree. The content should be out there to kind of hook the promoters and show them. It's your CV these days. Do you know what I mean? It's like that. This is what I can do. But just to play devil's advocate, do promoters care how good you are? Because I see a lot of promoters booking DJs. They'll put them on the lineup because either they're very, very cheap or they're not amazing, but they have the big social media following. Influencer DJs are getting bookings all the time and their content is not good. Do you know what I mean? But they've got a million followers. So say that again.
I said neither's a DJ in a lot of times as well.
Well, yeah. Exactly. So it's a weird, we're in a weird place, I see. So do you think, like, in terms of doing that content, do the promoters really care? Is that going to bring it?
I feel it's really interesting because where I've started to throw parties in the last couple of years, I can now see it from both perspectives. And first off, I think there has always been booking DJs and influencers or celebrities jumping on the DJ bandwagon as in a way to get more gigs. Mm. Like, I remember before I was even clubbing, there was nightclubs around me that were booking like celebrities or acts for a DJ set. And I'm like, what? They don't even make music. Like, what are you on about?
Yeah.
And like, so that the, it's not fake DJing, but like the doing the, let's say influencer DJing or an act becoming a DJ and a promoter booking them to bring in numbers, effectively, what is a promoter's job? I guess you would put them into two different types. You'll have one whose goal is literally just put as many bums on seats, get as many people in that place to make a profit. It is a business at the end of the day that is there to make a profit.
Yeah.
If that act is good as well, great. Bonus on top, fantastic. Because I think it depends on the club. If it's your traditional, let's say, commercial charty club that anyone off the street would go to on a Saturday night, let's be honest, all they care, it's a numbers game to them. All they want is numbers through the door, people buying drinks. People aren't necessarily, they're getting so drunk with their friends, they're not really caring about what music is being played or the person that's there. Unless they're a proper mainstream act. Whereas you've got that league of promoters that are putting on, let's say, genre-specific nights, like your house music, D&B raves, where I feel like you get people almost try and walk both lines. It's like, okay, well, we want someone who's good, but we also want someone who's going to bring their friends in.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's tough, man. I feel like they get split into two categories and sometimes they ride along that line. And there are some promoters who book people just for good, just for the music talent.
Right. Because they're good DJs, they have sick taste,
exactly,
and they're getting booked for it, right? So let me ask you something then, because I know like you do house music events and you're involved in like the house scene, which is something I'm very removed from. Is it happening over there in that scene as well? Because I know, for example, with drum and bass, with the biggest drum and bass events, they're very, very protective. Like my perception of it is that they're very protective of the quality of the night. There used to be one in Brighton called Devotion. And they were booking people like Andy C, and they're booking Mampy Swift, and they're booking all the big, you know, Shy FX, and they're booking all the big drum and bass guys. And everyone on the lineup was also a good DJ. Do you know what I mean? There wasn't any shit DJs on there. And that was how they maintained that brand and how they kept it a very, very sick night. And that was, although I didn't really get heavily involved, that was my perception of a lot of drum and bass nights. They weren't just chucking people in just because they can bring their friends and just because they've got social media numbers. It was, are you good? Yes. Okay, cool. That's how we protect the scene.
Mm.
Is it similar in house music? Because obviously in like the... in the hip-hop R&B world and the world that I'm involved in, it's not that way. Like promoters generally, I want to go as far to say as a lot of promoters don't really care how good you are. It's how cost-effective you are for their night because they're running a business. Do you know what I mean? There's not that much quality control.
I feel like as well, if we're to split it into the different genres, so let's say your R&B hip-hop music, or you know, drill, etc., all that grime, maybe actually excluding grime, but a lot of that genre of music is normally played in bottle clubs, where the general aim of the club is it's always big spender clubs, isn't it? It's not normally that you would go to a hip hop R&B event and there's a pit, a barrier, and everyone's facing there, unless it's an act actually performing, like Central RD, someone like that. So in the house scene, it definitely 100% does happen. I feel like it almost, it's a tough one, man. I feel like it's not as much, but it's definitely there. I feel like it's almost like an undertone. I feel like it also depends on the brand. You've got some brands that are building off of, say, just residents, or they're only booking people that they truly are good DJs.
You've
got some that are like, you know what, we'll book a headliner as a special guest. And then I feel like when it gets down to almost like, so obviously on a lineup, you'll have almost like your two tiers in it, or your three tiers. You'll have like your two or three top selectors who people know who they are. People will come for them, but they're really good DJs, been in the scene for a while. Mm-hmm. You've got your mid-tier, which is the people that are in that, they're building their fan base. A few people in the crowd will know who they are and they're good as well. So you put them on middle. They're like the ones who are on that sort of the come up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got obviously the people at the, not the bottom, but the warm-ups, the people who are coming in.
Yeah,
I feel like when it comes to the warm-ups, people are probably being picked on how many numbers they can bring through the door. Because from a promoter point of perspective, they're thinking, okay, how quickly, everyone who throws a party, that first hour and a half is the worst time of the night. Because even if you've done 1,000 tickets, you're just sat there thinking,
when's anyone coming?
When people coming? And it's just like,
Yeah.
And so I feel like it happens a lot more on sort of like the warm-up area, you know, the first two, three, four DJs that are playing, let's say on like a big eight-hour lineup, because promoters are probably looking, okay, well, this person is a good, I feel like they are considering, yes, they're good, you know, they're a good DJ.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, okay, they've also got a great following. How many people can they bring in? So I feel like it's definitely involved in the conversation. From what it sounds like, it's maybe not as heavy as say, you know, like your side of the industry, but it's definitely there. It's 100% there. And I think also I sort of understand why, coming from a promoter's point of view, because at the end of the day, it's a business and they need to get people in the door.
Yeah, but it's exactly that.
I feel like it's balanced. I feel like you have to have balance. Like I know we've all gone to nights where the DJ on before the act was way better than the
Act. For real.
Everyone's been to nights like that. It's a really, really tough one because, as I say, I see it from both sides.
Yeah, that's the thing. I understand it because at the end of the day, it's a business. The promoter's job or the event running, like the person who's running the event, their job is to have a successful event and make money from it. And the way you make money from that in business is keep your overheads down. You're not paying the most expensive people to come, which I get. But as the DJ, I hate it.
Yeah.
Because it really has, the balance has tipped and it's like, we don't even care about quality anymore. Because I feel like in the past, when the tools to be so, when the tools to be a DJ weren't so readily available, you had to be able to have that basic level of skill. So even the guys on the lower end of the scale who were doing stuff that was not as expensive were still good. They could still do it.
I think kind of the reason why it's, or one of the reasons why it's changed as well, is that if you look, if we look over, let's say the last 6 years, excluding COVID, is that in general, everybody, especially post-COVID, actually, DJ fees have gone up. Cost of living has gone up, et cetera, et cetera.
Drinks I don't price. Think DJ fees have gone up, but sorry, carry on.
But so let's say like headliner fees, sorry. So like headliner fees are now, especially in house music, are through the roof. They've never been higher. You think the bars are spending more money. The cost of everything has gone up.
Yeah.
Let's just say. However, I feel like if anything, ticket prices have gone down. So, because I remember events when I was, 18, 19, 20, you would pay £20-25 to get into an event. Or, I mean, I remember New Year's Eve tickets being like £50-80 for a localized regional event. But now you ask someone to pay £50 for a regional event, they're going to tell you to piss off.
Yeah.
Like, I think the cost of, so from a promoter point of view, they're like, everything's costing more. And we're getting less money in to play with. Facebook ads aren't working as much anymore.
Yeah.
There's no point flyering anywhere because no one pays attention to it and no one goes out. The high street is dead.
Yeah.
So it's like, from their point of view, they're almost like, oh, I need to do what I can here just to even break even.
Yeah.
But I hear it as well from the DJ. It doesn't make it any easier from the DJ perspective.
Yeah. It's something we've touched on so often. Like, I think there's various elements to it, and it's a case of just figure out what promoters you want to work with and what types of promoters. Like, I've got a great network of people that I'm working with and working for all year round. Do you know what I mean? It's like a 12-month circuit that I have now, and they're almost like, without sounding bougie, they're like a hand-picked selection of promoters that I know I fuck with heavy because they do business well. Like, they're non-problematic, their nights are incredible. And they are, what they want from a night lines up with what I want from a night. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I'm not getting stopped halfway through the night and saying such and such has just bought a bottle. Can you play this song and that song? Like, I don't do those kind of things because that's not what I want in the middle of my set. I don't want to stop my energy to, do you know what I mean? Some people are cool with it. And that's cool because that's where they can work. But do you know what I mean? Like, that's so, yeah, I guess it's just a case of like picking the promoters and venues that you want to work with as a DJ.
I think there's two tips any budding DJ working through the ranks trying to get out there could do, even if they're in like a residency in their local town and they want to get out more. Is two things. Is make a look at where you want to be in. So I did this with the DJs I was working with. Look where you want to be in 6 months. Look where you want to be in a year and look where you want to be in 18 months. It's all very well and good. People saying, where do you want to be in 5 years? But it's not really that reversible engineering because everything can change so quickly. So
fast.
18 months is a nice year and a half. You look ahead. Okay, I'd really like to, and really break it down to, I want to be playing these brands. I want to be in this holiday resort. I want to be doing these gigs. I want to earn X amount a week, or I want to be earning this per gig. And then break it down gradually. Okay, well, that's where I want to be in 18 months. Okay, so in 9 months, I want to be charging X amount to get to that point. And here I want to do that. Literally brain dump everything. Work down because then it would enable you little targets to meet to. Yeah, cool, sick. Okay, by this date, I'm going to get there. And the second thing is patience. I feel like all of our generation, we're very, very fortunate to be successful in what we do and do it as a full-time job. Nowadays, the cost of entry is so much cheaper than what it used to be because controllers and stuff like that is just, all right, we had virtual DJ back in the day that a lot of us used to probably crack and work our way out on torrents and stuff. But like, you think back to an SL, an old Rain box, bro, they were like £400-500.
Yeah, it wasn't
DJing wasn't, the good CDJs were at least £200. If you want, even the basic Numarks were £100 per turntable. Mm-hmm. It wasn't an easy thing to get into. And you know what? That's just, none of us can change it. It's the same with videography and cameras and stuff. Like, look at everyone's eye. People are now taking iPhones at gigs over, they'd rather pay a social media person over a videographer because, one, the clips are performing better. The cameras are fantastic now. Everything moves with the time. So you just have to, yes, the cost of entry is cheaper, but that means obviously it's a lot more saturation. There's a lot more people at it. But that also means that, I'm trying to think of the best way to word it, because, yeah, I don't know. It's tough. I feel like, yes, there's more saturation. There's more people doing it. But that also means that, like, competition is healthy. Competition is very, very healthy. Competition will take you being from an average person to a great person.
Mm.
Like, as long as you don't get jealous over what people are, you know, or spiteful is probably more the right word to use, but say, oh, okay, I remember I had a great example is I thought I was a great videographer and I hadn't really been out of Essex. And then I went to see Danny T in Leeds and I saw Tom Haig do a video mm-hmm. and he did videography as his spare time job. He was a DJ full time yeah. or like that was his main job. I looked at it and just went, I ain't shit. Wow. But that was such, when I then eventually moved to Leeds, like 6 months later, I was so excited to, because it, I was like, right, how have they done this? How have they done that? Within a year, I leveled up so much. Just see it as just, yes, there's more people in there, but that also means more people will probably stop doing it within 6 months. Like, just keep work, like the, you just got to work, man. It's, I know it's work and patience. Like, that's what I was trying to get to the original point. Sorry, was, back when we did it, you sort of put in the work, and because there was less people doing it, I guess it took longer to get there. But when you did get there wasn't as many people there, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It does make sense. Yeah.
Where
yeah.
now lots of people are cutting through because there's so many people doing it. But you still, like, the patience is gone because people have seen their mate who's gone from DJing in his bedroom or on streams to now playing clubs or festivals in the space of 9 months. For us back in the day, that would have been 3-4 years worth of work.
Minimum, now, yeah. At 100%.
Least. Now that's just, none of us can change that. That's the name of the game. Yeah, we can be annoyed at it, but what's really, is it going to achieve? We have to look at it and just say, you know, it's a bit like the whole, we are now turning into the, oh, you should only play vinyl. Like, but it's just, it's the natural progression of the generations yeah. moving down, where every generation, like in 10 years time, today's new DJs who will now be big DJs are going to be saying something about the new thing that has come through, saying, well, AI. They were able to do that. Yeah.
They're going to be saying a new thing about the robots that exactly. have taken all the jobs.
Yeah. I'm going to kind of see Carl Cox the robot at Ultra. But,
yeah.
Yeah. I think people just have to need to have a lot more patience because, well, we're all used to it. We're all used to it because it did take a long time. And the cost.
Yeah, the bar's been lowered massively. The bar of achievements has been lowered, and the standard that you need to
and the access as well.
Like. Absolutely. But I feel like there is still that level that when you get to, there's not as many people. It's like you said, in 6 months' time, there's going to be so many people that have tried and failed and dropped off quickly. So you just have to push past that first bar. And then past the second bar, there's the bars have been lowered, but there are new bars as yes. well. Do you know what I mean? So eventually, like, you can cut through if you just have the work ethic and just, yeah, keep your foot on the gas. And
you just got to keep at it. Like, I think it's one of the, as you said, once people drop out, if you're still there, that says something about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like a year later, you're still doing it. Like, it says something about it. Like, I think all of us in the scene who are aware of, obviously, like yourself and Stylus, when you guys have both just come off recent tours and being tour DJs, and, you know, you're getting your praise, you're getting, you know, your what is it, I'm trying to think what the phrases they use, but, you know, you're, it's now being seen on a much more, we all know you've been grafting for years, but now yeah. everyone else is seeing it. Realistically, we all know you all should have had tour slots years ago.
For real.
We all know that. Like, that's just, and that's a comp, but to show that you guys are still here, you're still at that level, you're still progressing through.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, even if we take, like, you know, like yourself, Pennell and Stylus, look at what all three of you guys have achieved in like the last year, even like the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. It's like, we've all known you were at that capable of that level, but now like you're here. And that says something massively about yourself. It's not that you just don't just do one tour. You come back, you do another tour with that artist.
Yeah,
then another
yeah,
one.
Exactly.
Like, and I think people even say, like, you see it, people compliment, especially on like TikTok, you'll see, there was a clip I saw, I think it was a somewhere in America, I think it was Rolling Loud. And people are commenting about like Pernell's DJ and like in between. They're like, oh, like this, because we've all seen videos of acts with where the host or the DJ is just not complimenting the artist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And one thing we know confidently is that like you, Stylus and Pernell, that when you're with your artist, it's just such a that synergy. And I think artists are just like, wow, like, damn. Like,
it makes a huge difference, you know. And actually I commented on this in a sense that there was a period in time where certain artists, especially from the UK, as the UK scene was blowing up, certain artists were just letting their mate be their tour DJ. Because maybe they didn't know another DJ, they didn't know an actual DJ, or it was just cost effective. I don't know the reason. But when it came to the club shows and when it came to the festival shows and all this, it was very obvious that this, you're just there because you're his mate. You actually have no idea how to DJ.
And well, then they're trying to take the limelight as well. I had to say to an artist I knew who was a friend, I'd seen him through the come up. He did. I was at a festival show with him and I pulled him to one side after and I just went, bro, from a professional point of view, I think you need to change some stuff because this is your show, not someone else's. And like,
it's really
important. And they're both like fantastic people in their own right. But it's also, as you say, like when you get people on board and it's like having a good, for an artist, having a good DJ is just makes all the difference, bro. It takes performance from here
massively
to here,
not just in the war.
I mean, even I was just thinking now, you think of like Charlesy and Tiny, like look at that partnership, like a show, it's a bounce back. Tiny says, like, even same with like yourself and your act, you say something, they say something, you fill in the gaps, boosting the crowd.
It's, exactly. Yeah, Win, DJ Win and H do that very, very well together as well. Win's a really good
man.
Tour DJ also. But yeah, it's crazy. It is like having that. And also, like you say, you touched on like the ego of one of the person on stage trying to make it about them. That's actually something I was very conscious about with touring with RD, because obviously I'm getting onto stages and doing things that as a DJ I aspired to do. I wanted to do Wireless main stage as DJ Double. I wanted DJ Double to have the booking. Do you know what I mean? But then now I'm there. However, it's not my stage. Do you know what I mean? I'm the support. I'm there. I'm just making sure things, I'm just holding it all, but it's RD's stage. He is the fascination on the stage. That's why we're there. So it is difficult. Like I had to really have
very hard, man.
I had to find the balance of complimenting RD's performance and getting that chemistry with him and making sure we have an incredible show without it becoming the DJ Double show. So
I mean, people don't take enough appreciation for that because it's also very hard and you don't want to sound overprivileged when you're in that position, but like that's a very tough position. As you say, you know, all your career you've been saying I want to play it as DJ Double, then next thing you know you're on that stage in front of 40,000-50,000 people and it's like you still it's tough. I credit to you guys because that must be extremely hard. I can only, obviously I've worked with acts on them stages from like a house music perspective. And it's, I feel like though you sometimes, I don't know if you can relate to this, but you buy into that bigger image. It's not just this artist, like at, so when I was like touring with MK, it was always like, I just want everyone there to have a sick show. So
yeah,
I'm more than just a videographer when I'm there, you know, like, I'm helping out with the production. Oh, the CO2 thing isn't working. Okay, let's fix a confetti cannon. Like, there's been so many instances where you just think, other people might be like, I'm not doing that. I'm a videographer. I'm just paid to film. So like, this isn't just a, and I think fans are actually gradually starting to realize this, luckily through just social media and so on, is that it's not just one person on stage. There's a team around them. It takes, you know, 30, 40 people sometimes to put, even more to put on these shows. And I think the gradually over time, credit is being given more to all the people that are involved. And a lot of artists as well are saying, you know, massive thank you for my team. This wouldn't be possible without them. You know, the people behind the scenes, like yourselves, the production managers, the special effects, you know, your sound engineers, all of that comes into play.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. It's crazy. It's only once you get involved and you see inside the machine, how many, like, backstage at a festival is chaos.
Yeah.
Even just down to the runners and engineers and stuff on stages, like behind the curtain and stuff, is absolutely mad. Before I was involved, I knew there were people there, obviously, but I had no idea how intricate it was and how many people really go into, like, setting that kind of stuff up. It's crazy. So what do you think other actionable steps for DJs are there other than, okay, so we've covered like social media content, making sure that you've got your stuff popping on more than one social media platform as well, of course. I think Facebook's irrelevant now.
Yeah.
For the demographic. If we're looking at like club DJs, for example, that's who I want to aim this at. Someone who's like a resident or they want to be a resident and then they want to just sell through the ranks. I think somewhere like Facebook's irrelevant. Them people aren't going to the clubs now. So we're looking at like potentially maybe Twitter. I don't know if Twitter cares, but Instagram and TikTok. That's where like the visual content is. So we're looking at, okay, cool. Make sure your stuff isn't just basically you putting the kettle on. Make sure you're doing something. It doesn't have to be like crazy wizardry, but I would put there personally, if I'm given advice, I would put the emphasis on creativity. Be creative.
I'm gonna quick fire tips. It'll probably be the easiest way. So
yes, go.
Content. We all know about content. Yeah, content is good, as you say, but make the content good. And content doesn't just have to be you doing mixes, because you want people to buy into your personality. So if you've got a really, really cool gig, get your mate to take your phone, film a day in the life. You're not comfortable putting your voice on camera, do it with text. It's completely fine. Get someone else to do a voiceover. All of this is free. You can do it on your phone. Doesn't matter, Android, iPhone. Show your personality more. Oh, okay, you're doing this. Go into a show. Step number two is network in person. I get a lot of people who are maybe just coming in. COVID's made them a little bit uncomfortable. They're not used to it. But back in the day, if we wanted to play a party, or if I wanted to video a party, guess what I'm doing? I'm going to that event twice, like a couple of times. You can find out who the DJs are or the promoters are and so on. Go, right, okay, yeah, cool. That's that person.
Yeah.
You know what? Drop a comment on their post. Oh, buzzing for this weekend. Yes, let's go. Couple emojis. Start commenting. Start being a face in that scene where you want to be. You want to play for that brand? Cool. Guess what? Buy a couple of tickets. Go to it. It's like an investment. Club tickets, as we said earlier, aren't that expensive nowadays.
Yeah. Instead of just going in and be like, hey, bro, can I get guest list? Hold on. I don't even know you. I don't even know you yet. But if you pay for the tickets, this is advice I've given as well. Like, go to the clubs and events that you want to work at. Don't 100%. Just sit at home and be on social media. Like, I think the social media side is important. Follow the promoters, speak to them and, you know, build the relationship there. But I agree with you. Networking in person is so, so important. Be seen at these places.
A great way to follow it up is I can give two instances. So one was, there was a business lad I really, really wanted to, you know, you see someone online and you're like, you know what, we're going to really sync well. We could probably do some cool business. So I went to one of his networking events. It was a higher ticket price, paid it, went, had a good chat with him. I spotted out who his team were, went by myself. Yeah, had a chat with them, met some people, got chatting online, sent him a message 2 days later. So after the full buzz had died down a bit and just went, by the way, mate, fantastic event. I really come from not a fanny point of view, but from just a very like person to person. Yo, man, I really, really enjoyed the other night. You and your team put on something really fantastic. Leave it at that. Doesn't have to be a comment. Just leave it at that. Got a little convo going. He then come to one of the first DM event we did at Cube. Got chatting a bit more there. Got chatting a bit. Now we're doing different business here, there and there. I'm like, I'm really good mates with him now. And we've gone on different trips abroad. And he said like, bro, like just works. Every time we work on a project, it just works. Like, it's fantastic.
Yeah,
and he's like, I can just tell we're going to be like mates for a proper long time. And he's just great. And I told him this story. I said, bro, like, you just have that feeling. You just got to build it up. There was another DJ where I wanted this DJ to play a party of mine. So I was just like, you know what? I'm cool. I love what they're doing. I just dropped them a little message. Just like, by the way, I just want you to know, like, the content you're putting out is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love it. I'm really, really enjoying it. I've sent it to a few people. Hopefully we can work on something in the future. Start building up a rapport. Like, a lot of people, as you said, are just going, can I get guest list? Can I DJ your night? Can I do this?
Yeah, they're asking. They're trying to take all the time.
Gary Vee says it. He says, what is it? Jab, 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 right hook. So if you wanted to knock someone out, even with sales and marketing, you tease someone up, warm them up, warm them up, warm them up. Then you ask them for something. If you just go straight in, if I've never met you before and I walk up to you and go, yo, bro, can I warm up for one of your nights? You'd be like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, who are you?
Do you know what I mean? But if we've been chatting for a little bit and I was like, oh, look, double man, look, if it's the way you word it, be like, oh, look, I appreciate you're a super busy guy and you probably can't. But if there are any slots that become available for a warm-up, I don't want to be getting paid. I'd love just to showcase you my skills. Mm-hmm. I can send you a mix or something. I'd love to work with you in some shape or form in the future. If not, no worries. It's totally cool. I love what you're doing. What are you going to be way more acceptable to be like, you know what? That Reese guy was actually come at me a really, really nice way. He's, you know, I've been chatting to him a little bit here and there. He's replied to a couple of stories. You know what? Yeah, sorry. I'm going to give him a chance on like one of my gigs that I know it's okay to put him on.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he's, you know, and if you're doing that with, you know, four or five different people, gradually, you're then, you know, you're working your way through the scene. It's building blocks. It's like, if you add lots of bricks and you keep adding, and a lot of people, you're working, you're grinding, you think nothing's happening. I'm just, everything I'm doing, my TikTok's not blowing, my Instagram's not blowing, et cetera, et cetera. But guess what? You add a brick every day. Add another brick. Add another brick. Keep adding. You turn around after a year, you've got a house.
Mm. Yeah.
And that has foundations. So then you build upon that. The house then becomes a street. Street then becomes a neighborhood. Neighborhood then becomes a city. And before you know it, you're the mayor of the city.
Yeah. The analogies. Love it. So let me ask you about the jab, jab, jab hook thing, right? Do you not find when it's a superficial thing? So if someone approaches with the mindset of, you know what? I know where the promoter is. I'm going to go meet him in person. We're going to connect. I'm going to get his Instagram. I know it already, but I'm going to ask him in person so that the relationship is, the seed is there. And I already know, let's just say this is the mindset. I already know that in a month, I'm going to ask him for a warm up, but you know what? The first three messages, I'm just going to warm it up. I'm just going to kind of bait it in a little bit. Do you think that is the right approach? Because I'll be honest, like I've had similar, it sounds that saying it that way sounds so like devious and that, but I've actually had similar where I've had people like certain execs of various companies and stuff. And really we don't have common ground. Yeah. Like it's very difficult to make small talk because we're from very, very different backgrounds. Our days are completely different. They're big, big execs in certain companies. And here I am figuring, okay, you know what? I actually see an opportunity in this company, but I don't want to be that guy that's just like, hi, nice to meet you. Give me this.
What I've done is
met them face to face, done the social media thing, had the small talk. But then when it's come to the point of the opening is there to kind of present the opportunity of, here's what I can do for your company, da 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 da, the conversation's gone dead. Mm. And now it's like, oh, right, well, we don't really have common ground. So it's actually a bit weird doing the small talk thing again now. Like, oh, how's your dog? Like, it's just weird because they know I'm just baiting it for the ask again. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that is a situation that people will come across. So do you think that that's a correct way to do it, or is it kind of like just establishing, have you got common ground first? Because it's difficult as well in this creative industry, making friends and creating business opportunities. Like business and pleasure often don't go hand in hand.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
And unfortunately, because of our business, a lot of them cross over as well.
Yeah.
So I think it has to come down to personal judgment. I think you're 100% right. You can't, like, if you're chatting to someone, If obviously the end, I think that people should look at, you shouldn't just be looking at it as, I just want to become friends with this person so I can DJ their party. It should be like, you know, you're just expanding your network. And, you know, it might be after chatting to them a little bit that you're like, you know what, actually, I don't really want to DJ their party anymore. And that's completely fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I think with the corporate thing, I think you, within the first messages, I think you have to just analyze the scene. Is this someone you actually want to be friends with? Because you can also cold email and reach out in the right way that can potentially get bookings.
Yeah. Like
if there's a brand that you want to play for and you don't necessarily want to do the small talk, there is nothing wrong with just finding out via LinkedIn who their booking agent is or the promoter. You're always better, I feel like, to go one beneath the promoter, because if you can get someone, because you think the promoter gets everybody messaging them.
Yeah,
if you
yeah.
can find out who their booking manager is or their resident who plays, or maybe not necessarily a resident because they probably get inundated as well, but there's always people, or the social media person, or there's always people who work within brands that aren't DJs and aren't the promoters. So if you find them and just say, okay, cool. You say, look, I'm a DJ, da, da, da. Just say, I'd love the opportunity, should it come up, to be involved with the brand in any shape or form or capacity, would be great to have a call about it. Because that is still very business. There's like, if you send 100 of them emails out of a numbers game, you're probably going to get at least two or three come back and say, yeah, you know what, actually, we've got a slot coming up in 3 months' time. We'll put you on there, see how you do.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, I don't feel like there is no one set method. Like the whole idea is just try everything. It goes again back to what we said before, you know.
Yeah.
Are you working hard enough? Like, have you tried every avenue? Yes. You don't have to be friends with every single promoter and DJ. That's, you know, you don't, like we all know this. Sometimes you just don't get along with people. There are some promoters that I might do well, or not so much now, but there might be people in the past. I went through a stage of a lot of my clients become my friends. And I was like, I don't necessarily want this, because then they feel like they can just message you at any random time, they can do this. It's like,
yeah, yeah,
it's so, you almost have to, you know. But there's some people that has happened naturally with, you know, like, you know, your Joel Corey, Nathan Dawes, like, you know, they're my mates now. It's, and if they were to ask, it's very different. But say a corporate client, I don't really want the corporate client messaging me at 10 o'clock on a Saturday evening like, yo, man, da, 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 da. It's like, it's not how it is.
Yeah.
So I think it just comes down to personal judgment. Like, trust your gut, essentially. Like, if you're looking at this massive brand and you just think, oh, you know, I really want to get in, but oh, I can't reach that promoter, or I can't get to them. I don't really feel like, you know, because we also, it has to come from a point of integrity.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
If you're just going up to every single DJ and just being like, oh yeah, like, I feel like if you're not, so when I do it, I'm having genuine intentions, because I really like what this person's doing. I like what they're doing with their career. And I just like have support. Like I see it a lot with like up and coming people. Like I just like being involved in, you know, the people that are new on the scene and the people that are doing that. And maybe I can help them, and I'm sure they can help me a lot. I generally want to do that. It's not a facade. It's not something I'm putting up to be cool. It's not something I'm doing to get more gigs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's something I just want to do. So I think you also have to be honest with yourself and say, do I really, you know, want to, it's tough. I'm trying to think the best way to word it, but yeah, integrity, it comes down to, because if you just go to every single person and you go, oh yeah, yeah, like we know if you're faking it, innit? Like if you're chatting to me, like, oh yeah, and this and that, I know when you're teeing up to ask something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think when it comes to networking in person, like, because obviously, like you mentioned, you've got your DM events that you do. I've not managed to make it to the others because of shows, but I came to the very first one you did at the Cube, which was really, really good. But I'll be honest, I hate networking. And I hate, even more than networking, I hate networking in person. Like, I love meeting new people and I love conversations, but I hate networking, which is mad because I love meeting new people. But yeah, what I find, like, I have the approach now when it comes to networking in person. I'm very direct in a sense that, like, I'll be honest, there's very few events that I will go to because I want to be there. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not at networking events to socialize. I'm like there because either someone I know is there doing something there and I want to support, or if I don't know anyone involved, I'm just going to create opportunity. But one approach I take, I literally start my conversations with, hi, what do you do? That's literally how, like, hi, what do you do?
I think that's great as well. And I think that's how I've noticed as well over the years, when I used to be a bit wishy-washy with people, I'm now very like, yeah, you meet someone, oh, like, what do you do? Or if you like, you can, I feel like you can tell when people work for a brand. If I'm at, say, a new night and I only know like the promoter, I'd be like, oh, like, what do you do? Oh, I run this, this, and this for the brand. Oh, cool, sick. Like, as you say, get direct. The same if I'm, if there's even like people I know, if I want to work on a project, I'll say hello to them. Oh, yeah. Like, if I already know them, this is sort of, oh, how do you do? Or I've only met them on Instagram. Oh, yeah, how's things? Oh, that project you did the other day was really, really sick. And then you just say, oh, and so I've said hello. I've warned them and just been like, oh, yeah, like, how are you? A very, very small talk. And then be like, by the way, I want to do this with you. So it's not just half hour of just, oh, yeah, da da da. I
That's,
say,
you know, that's the difficulty. And I think, I honestly
tough.
think that's why I dislike networking, because before I really realized the purpose of networking, I was going in with like I don't want to be rude to anyone. So now I'm here, we've met, I've chatted, I haven't even told you what I do yet. I don't even know what you do yet. We've just talked about whatever, found common ground. Half an hour later, we're still stood next to each other because neither of us want to be rude and be like, look, I've got
I don't
other
like that,
people to
man. Yeah.
find. And that's why now it's a 4 hour networking event and I've spent half an hour chatting to one person who I already know can't create any opportunity for me because they're a chef. Or do you know what I mean? Like some other mad diff, like so it's very, very tricky, I think. Do you have any tips for like, especially, you know what, to add to that, a lot of people, especially DJs and social media based people these days, I find are introverts also. The thought of chatting to someone face to face turns stomachs. Do you know what I mean? So do you have any tips for people that are like in that situation where like, okay, well, I'm getting into this conversation with the person, but I know they can't provide opportunity for me. I need out of this opportunity, out of this conversation, sorry, but I don't want to be rude. How do you get out of that conversation?
So I deal with this at nearly every single DM event that we put on, is that there is a lot of people that come who are very early in their careers and they want some advice or they want someone. Obviously, I'm on that center stage. I'm the one putting on the event. I'm the one doing the talk. And I try to allocate it. I give each person no more than 5 minutes. I always try to think of it. It's almost, even when I'm talking to people, it's like an elevator pitch. You can summarize everything you want to say in this time that you would get in an elevator and go up. So if people are chatting to me, they'll just be like, oh, and you can try and lead the conversation. A great way to end it is I normally say, you know what? Look, that's fantastic. I'm super busy. Just throw in your Instagram details. Just do the follow. Do the follow. You end up DM if they you can then start a conversation after. I'll just say, oh, look, I just need to quickly go check on someone, or
That one.
I really need the toilet. Or I just some the last one, I was just really honest. I just said, oh, look, like that's fantastic. Like I've got to have a chat. This was a great chat. If you want tips on anything, just drop me a DM. I'll send you a voice note as a reply, but I've got to say hello to everyone else. And when you're honest with people, I feel like honesty is the best policy. Like just say, oh, you're like, oh, I'm gonna grab a drink. The worst thing is you're like, oh yeah, I want a drink as well. And
Yeah,
then you're
I'll
still
come with you. Like, oh shit, now I didn't want to drink, but now I've got to go and now you're coming with me. I think, yeah, as you know what, you've got the get out of jail free card because it's your event. So you can be the busy guy. You can be like very blunt and be like, you know what? This was nice. I've got to chat to everyone. I've just got to make sure everything's running smooth. I'm out.
It's
Nice.
practice as
Good
well,
chat.
though. I feel like, you know, just as you say, be honest and polite at the end of the day. Like just saying, oh, like, oh, fake shake their hand or go to shake their hand. No one wants to leave someone hanging or fist bump and whatever you're doing. And just be like, oh, yeah, thank you, man. Oh, it was great chatting. No, like, just hit me up on socials and then bounce and move on to someone else. I feel like it just comes with practice. I used to be a very, very unconfident person. And now every day when I try to do something, whether it's like approaching someone new or approaching an opportunity, I'm just like, seek discomfort. Like, what is the actually the worst that's going to happen? Like even like this is odd, but even when you revert it, say like approaching a female or going up to someone new. When I went on holiday, I was like, I'm gonna make a big step, just go up to someone, approach them. I got rejected in front of a whole group of like five girls. Bro, I just walked off and laughed. I was just like, yeah, no worries. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, what is really the worst that's gonna happen? Like, I'm not gonna fall off a cliff. Someone this isn't gonna happen. Like, even if it's something's awkward, just laugh. I was saying it's awkward for like a couple of minutes. Oh yeah, okay, whatever, cool.
Like, you know what? And also, like, I actually have found in the past, when you get into awkward situations, actually saying this is awkward stops it being awkward. It turns it into a joke. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, well, this is a bit of an awkward silence. And then it's like, yeah, it is, kind of. And it's a bit of a laugh. Do you know what I mean?
And then you say that and then just be like, oh, yeah, cool. It was nice meeting you anyway. Yeah, do, walk off.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's like your icebreaker.
Yeah, ending conversations with stuff like, oh, it was nice to meet you, or it was really good to talk, or I'll see you soon, or I'll see you next time. Do you know what I mean? Or I hope I see you next time, and things like that. Because I have got to a point when I'm doing the networking thing, like I said, my opener is literally, hi, what do you do? And I do that not just at networking events, I'm doing that everywhere now. If I'm at a festival and I'm backstage and there's someone, if I see someone chatting to someone else who I know and I think, like, I don't know the other person, then when we come to talk, it's like, what do you do? Do you know what I mean? And then it's find out, oh, okay, so you're the directional manager for this and this brand, right, cool. Like, well, I'm DJing here, I've got a show in a bit, and all this, that. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, that's where I say, like, when it comes to networking, the importance is finding that common ground. It's like, and you got, but it's so difficult because you got to find it quick. You got to find, like,
it just comes with practice, doesn't it?
It's definitely, like, yeah, definitely.
It just comes with practice, getting out there, chatting to people. If you're in a group of people, I've also found really trying to listen to people and making, not like staring at them, but just make, like, when you're having a conversation with someone, it's much better to have a two or 3 minute conversation where you're both actually listening to each other, listening to what they're saying, and then go, yeah, fantastic. Rather than, we've all been guilty of it, talking and looking around the room while you're saying a point, or why someone
looking for the next person, like, who is there, someone more important I can be chatting to right now, or like,
and use your peripheral still, but like, while someone's talking, like, remember, you can see 180. If someone's in front of you, you can still see 180. Someone just walked in. Okay, cool. I'm going to go say hello to them and say. But if you give someone your sole attention and just look at them dead in the camera or dead in the eyes and just be like, oh, yeah, cool. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, bro, I'm really, really proud of what you're doing. You know what? Oh, you'll do that. I do this. Like, maybe there's somewhere we can connect on that. I tell you what, let me take your details, or let's do a detail swap. Done the detail swap. You know what? Cool. Fantastic. Let's chat. Boom. Thank you. 3 minutes. Done.
Yeah.
And that can apply across the thing. And the thing is, like, I see it in the video world. There's like the same people who work in, say, like, the festival circuit in terms of videographers and so on. I'll go to like a new festival. I don't know their name, or I see them at Miami Music Week, and I'll just be like, yo, like, how are you? Oh, yeah, I'm good. Like, oh, fist bump. Yeah, cool. Like, oh, wicked, how's feet? We only have maybe 1 minute to talk because we're with, you know, acts or whoever are changing over and so on. And we all know how them changeovers are. It's so manic. But it's like, yeah, cool. Oh, yeah, cool, sick. And then you might follow up with a little DM later. Like, it's stuff like that.
Exactly that. I think it is getting the surface stuff out of the way. I think it's a good filter as well, figuring out who you want to talk to after the event and stuff. I think the events, like, they're not there to lock everything in and get the business and get the contract signed and everything. I've just met you. Like, do you know what I mean? It is it's a case of filtering through, and the clue's in the description. It's a networking event. So actually build your base of people that you know and then follow it up afterwards. I actually screenshot everyone that I put into Insta that I follow. I screenshot, so it's in my photo albums. Then over the next couple of days, I then go through. But again, what I try to do is I try and find mutually beneficial opportunities instead of just being like, okay, well, you do this. Can you pay me? do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, you do this. So here's what potentially I could bring to the table if we were to do something together.
That's fantastic. And then, show the value.
It's a two-way street. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's all about exchange of value. So, like, I honestly, so when I was coming up through like my heyday years, honestly, the listening to Gary Vee's content from 2016 to, let's say, 2019, some of his content there is honestly has built my career. Like, I listen to so many podcasts, and there's some, I know a lot of stuff is he just repeats it nowadays, but like, listen to that sort of stuff because he gives the building blocks on what you need to do. Like, it is having these conversations with people, but, you know, also just don't be a dick as well. Like, you know, it's networking, meeting someone, say at a festival or an event or a club, you're not, as you said, you're not there to sign the contract and sign the deal. You're not there to sort of lock anything in, but yeah. you're there to plant a seed and then give it some time. That seed will then potentially grow, mm-hmm. you know, and not every opportunity has to come off. If an opportunity doesn't come off, yeah, cool, done, no worries. On to the next one. Don't get so hung up on something. Like, yeah, okay, that didn't work. Like, we've all had opportunities that never followed through or never come up. Like, I nearly had the chance in COVID to film Conor McGregor's after party in right. Dubai. But, it, you know, it never, and I was gassed, I was so excited and all this, but the opportunity never, it in the end, it never come out because it was during COVID. A lot of he was getting a lot of press and so on and what have you. But like,
yeah.
That's, did you see what I mean? I could have been like, oh man, like, damn, my career's just not going anywhere, all this. Bro, I was out in Dubai in COVID when everyone in the UK was in lockdown,
yeah,
literally filming projects for Apple Music. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, how,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was just like, oh, cool, all right, that opportunity didn't happen. But you know what? The fact that opportunity nearly got there is a sign. Keep,
yeah, the fact your name was in the conversation, so you're on the right path at least.
Exactly.
So we covered content, we covered networking. What other tips do you think there are for DJs to kind of progress?
I mean, working on yourself as well, working on your skill set, you know, practice. If you're not out in the clubs all the time, your residencies, practice, you know, or have an opportunity to practice or test, mm-hmm. you know, get some equipment. I know that's very easily say, just get some equipment, but you know, 90% of people are in a job and they're getting some money. Save up, well, even if it's a little controller, get something.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's actually not difficult to get
yeah.
DJ equipment these days, from the bottom of the range controllers up to the highest spec CDJ 3000s and all this stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, it is.
And you don't have to buy new. You've got eBay, you've got Gumtree, you've got Facebook.
You know, that's a great shout. And actually, in terms of every single piece of equipment, in terms of like camera equipment that I've used, I've always bought secondhand from eBay. Like, I've used throughout Same my man. Career when I've done stuff, I've used, like when I was vlogging and I used to do like daily vlogs and that on my YouTube, I bought 2 GoPros and I bought them secondhand off eBay because I'm like,
yep.
people look after this equipment.
Yeah.
And so it's like mint condition for a third of the price.
Bro, it's what I mean? Honestly all, if I look around my studio now, there are probably so monitors secondhand, monitor secondhand, the camera was new, mic secondhand, DJ deck secondhand, them speakers secondhand, amp secondhand,
yeah,
lights secondhand. My gimbal secondhand, I bought that from Cash Converters. My lens secondhand. I would probably say 80% of the stuff I bought is secondhand.
Yeah, like, that's such an underrated tip.
Like, it's so good. And if you've got a bit of time on your hands, you can watch the market and then you know. But like my decks, I wanted to get back into just DJing and stuff. I got that bug again. I got the bug.
Yeah.
I was just like, I need something. I didn't want a controller. I wanted something tactile. And I was like, okay, I want decks. What ones with record box? Okay, yep, cool. Searching online, I got the XDJ 700s. I was just like, okay, they're about 1,500 quid now. I know some's going to pop up for cheap. Kept watching. Cash Converters listed one, 1,300 quid with a flight case and a mixer and all that. I watched it, or I asked them about the price. A week later, they said, we'll give it to you for 1,100 quid. I went, boom, took it. The decks go for 500 quid alone.
Right, so yeah.
I sold the flight case for it. That was 200 quid. Sold the mixer for 400 quid and swapped it for a Pioneer. So I've got a full Pioneer setup that's worth about 1,700 quid,
yeah.
and I paid what, a grand,
yeah, 900 yeah, yeah.
quid, because I had a bit more time on my hands.
Yeah, yeah, you're able to do it.
But like, there's DJ controllers on there for 30-40 pounds. Like, and if the price is listed at 40, just ask him. Oh, would you take 30? I'll pick it up today. I'll come round right now.
Cash now.
Like, there's in hard times, there is a lot of opportunity to be had. Like the hard times, like if you can, and this is just advice for anyone in their field, DJing, videographers, anyone who works in the industry, if you can make it through these tough times, the same happened with COVID, you are going to reap the rewards of that down the line. It is an investment into yourself. Like I said to all the DJs, there was a lot of, we all know there was a lot of DJs who did nothing through COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And when I said to everyone, I said, you watch, we're going to come out on the other side of COVID. You've got a whole new generation of clubbers who don't know who they are.
Yeah,
they don't
know
what they're not in tapped into SoundCloud mixes so much. And because them DJs haven't stayed at the forefront, you think your career's not going anywhere because you can't do nothing, but it's out of your control. The government have shut everything. It's mm-hmm. physically out of your control. The parties you can do, you're doing. And now all of them guys who did that are now reaping the rewards because they stay consistent through that tough time.
Yeah,
it shows facts. That shows you are now a level above. The best companies are built in the toughest of times. Uber, Airbnb, two massively successful companies were built in the 2008 recession.
Mm.
Because if you can build in tough times, guess what? In 5 years' time, when we're out of this recession and people have got money and wages are up, boy, you're going to be flying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, if you can make something work when it's tough, when it gets easier, you're going to be like, well, this is a breeze. Like, I'm putting in double the amount of work. And then you get double the amount of rewards. And people view it as, wow, he stayed true. He was there the whole time. Like, he kept at it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man, people, you just got a consistency. Just
that's the patience. Thing.
Consistency,
it's like,
and patience.
Yeah, and that's like consistency, patience, and hard work.
Hard
is
work,
like
man.
That's like the consistent baseline I'm seeing through everything. All the advice you're giving, it all boils down to that stuff. Like, work hard as much as you can, as consistently as possible, and be patient with the results. Because that's the thing. It's not as much as people see it. They see people blowing up on social media and it's like, I've never heard of this guy and now he's one of the top celebrities. Who is it? Some people do cut through overnight and do blow up overnight, but they rarely last. Do you know what I mean? And it's the ones that look like they've blown up overnight, but really they've been putting it in for ages, like, prior. They're the ones that stay up on the top because they've built the skill set, they've put the hard work and the consistency in, and they stayed patient.
That's the thing. And you know what? It's putting in, and some people say, oh, it's not as simple as that. But, you know, there are obviously intricate pieces to it within mm-hmm. every single sector. But ultimately, it comes down to them three things: hard work, consistency, and patience.
Yeah.
It might take you 5 years and it might take someone else, you know, 6 months. But guess what? If you make it after 5 years, you've then got 5 years of a back catalog, all these little connections, all these little fans you've made gradually over the years will now start to come through. This isn't just someone who blows up overnight has not had 5 years of investing, mm-hmm. compounding new fans, people knowing who they are, people appreciating their skill. Like, it's, you've just got to keep at it. And I think if anyone's like, oh, well, I want to do it. And obviously personal time, I think everybody, I've burnt out a lot in the past, and I do think it is important to still give time to yourself. You know, go to the festivals with your friends, go out for drinks, because
mm-hmm. yeah, definitely.
You shouldn't just be stuck in your room 24/7. Like, you shouldn't be doing that. But the thing I'm talking about is that if every single night you're sitting down and watching 2, 3, 4 hours of Netflix, I'm sorry, but you're not working hard enough. And so when it does get to that point where you're like, oh, but they've achieved that better than me. Well, yeah, well, guess what? They were putting in the extra work.
Yes, because they outworked you. That's why.
They outworked you. As you said earlier, hard work, whether people think it is right or wrong, hard work can beat talent.
But, yeah, easily.
But guess what? If you've got talent and you combine that with hard work, you can fucking outshine everyone.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And that's a difference between... You know, that's the people who are at the top. That's the difference between the people who are doing really, really well and the people at the top of their game.
Yeah.
Because it becomes, when you become self-employed, and I think this is something people don't understand, when you decide to be a DJ, videographer, photographer, tour manager, whatever it is, when you become self-employed, this is not a 9-to-5 job. This is a 24/7 job. And yes, you can separate it into a 9-to-5, down the road, family, etc. But guess what? In them growth years, everything relates to your job. If I'm, and I don't want people to come across and thinking, yeah, hustle culture and woke culture and all this, but like, when you become your only source of income, I don't know how it was for you. For me, I was worried about it for ages, and then just a switch just flicked. And I was just like, everything I do now just relates into this machine that is me. If I'm going to an event, like I'm always being polite to door staff, to all stuff like that, because guess what? You never know when you're gonna end up working with them.
Yeah,
Like
for real.
you meet other DJ friends, yo, bro, yeah, you good, yeah, I'm good, man. Oh, I'm just on a night out, yeah, cool. Like you're building everything can be applied and sort of integrate in to a point where it is all one, you know, it's your brand representation. You know, when
Yeah.
people think of Reese, whether it's EV Pro or the videographer, they do not just think of, oh yeah, Reese the camera guy. It will be subconsciously they'll be like, oh yeah, Reese a thing, oh yeah, he filmed with these people, oh yeah, he's a nice guy. When people say double, I think, oh okay, yeah, sit, yeah, man, like did stuff with RD, I've known he's been in the circuit for ages and so on. Do you know what I mean? It's like
Yeah, absolutely.
you're never just thinking, oh yeah, double the DJ. It's subconsciously behind, they're thinking of everything else behind it. So
Yeah, facts.
everything you do promote comes together about it's your representation, how you want to be represented, how you want to even just want to be seen. Like I mentioned something in a recent thing I did, was just like when I was coming up, I was very conscious of what people's first thought of me would be, and I wanted it to be either he's a good videographer and he's a really nice lad. And I was very conscious anytime I met someone new, just, you know, wording my words in the right way, not being rude to people, just even just please and thank yous, opening a door for someone, all little things like that can just, you know, giving compliments to people. I feel like people got in a real, for an era, they've got into a stage of, oh, I don't just want to give compliments to everyone. Or if people are leaving comments on your stuff on Instagram and you've only got 10 comments, you're like, oh, well, I'm too good to give them a reply. Excuse me, someone has taken time out of their day to leave a nice comment on there. Just say thank you, even just a fist bump emoji.
In it,
Do you know what I mean?
exactly
It's
that.
like, and I guess sometimes you hit a level where you can't do that. They physically get to a level where you can't do that. But it's like when you're in that growth stage, everything matters. Every single thing counts.
Every single interaction. It's funny, as a mantra that I've carried with me for my whole entire career, and it was someone like who essentially was like a mentor for me very early on, said it to me. And he said, "It's nice to be important, but it's important to be nice."
I love that.
And that literally, no bullshit, that's been the mantra, which is how, like, I'd say 99.9% of people that have ever interacted with DJ Double would be like, "Yeah, he's a nice guy, like, cool guy." Do you know what I mean? There's a very small percentage because I just match energy. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, if you approach me a little bit wrong, then yeah,
Yeah,
or
yeah,
on the
yeah.
wrong day. But no, essentially, yeah, it's nice to be important, but it's important to be nice. That is kind of how I've carried myself through my whole career.
That's fantastic. That literally summarizes. That summarizes everything I just said the last 3 minutes. But no, you're bang on there. Literally, that is a perfect summary of it, man.
So before we tap out, then tell us DM, which I think like is such an important event for what's going on in the industry. It's not just DJs that go there. I met producers there. Actually, at the first one at Cube. It was Cube Have Studios. I got dragged into some studios and played some music by some artists as well, which actually slapped also. Do you know what I mean? So like it was a really cool experience. Like you had a couple of good DJs. Chucky and Joe were on the lineup that day, so they were actually doing the soundtrack. And it was just good vibes, a lot of good people, a lot of creative people, and good opportunity to meet other people in the field and like I say, create opportunities. So I do think DM's like a really, really important part of what's going on in the industry. Shouts to Callum as well, by the way. But yeah, tell us about how the other DJs can get involved or at least like find out about when DM's happening next and how they can tap in.
Yeah, so essentially for anybody who doesn't know, DM, it's DIEM. DM is networking for people in the music and the creative industry without that corporate bullshit. So there is no name tags, there is no dress code, there is no lanyards. We really just want people to come express, be themselves. And we try to make it a fun environment. So we pick really, really cool venues. We've got the beer pong, 360 booth. We have some, as you mentioned, we have some great DJ talent as well. And it's really about just forging new opportunities and meeting people in an environment that is a lot less sort of under the lights, if that makes sense. It's a nice vibe, a couple of drinks, because I feel like it makes it a little bit more comfortable for people. And we get a wide range of people. As you mentioned, we get We get artists, music producers, videographers, photographers, DJs. We get record label execs. We've had a wide, we get models even, we get dancers, we a very wide range of people within the industry. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic way to sort of meet people. Best way to find out when our next event is, we do them in London and Manchester, is head over to the Instagram page at DM events. That's DIEM and then events. All the info is put on that. And it's definitely worth people coming along. We get some, very luckily, we've never had any bad feedback so far when we keep taking the events and improving on them. So it's all just about giving back to the industry that has given me so much. So it's cool, man. And I love DM because it's enabled me also to network with new people where I'm going off into new careers and trying new things. Like I've started to produce and some other bits and pieces. So it's been great.
And that's actually how me and you met in person as well, was through DM. So
it was through DM, yeah. And I'd known of you for years. Mm-hmm. And then it was, oh, sick, yeah. Like, you know, obviously you and Sty come down. Sty goes all the way down from Manny.
Yeah, exactly.
But really, 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 really great opportunity for people to sort of to network and network, as I say, without that corporate stigma, without having a lanyard and having to go into focus groups. It's very, very relaxed. And we sort of try and set up now a lot of the conversations. And if there's someone I know who could benefit you, I'll take you over and introduce you. And yeah, man, it's a really, really fun evening. It's definitely, if you're in the industry and you want to come down, it's worth it.
Amazing. Do you have a date for the next one?
We do. We're actually doing a speakers edition at the Cube Canary Wolf, or Cube East. And that is on May the 25th, Thursday to May 25th.
Okay.
So far, the lineup for speakers is we've got Zafia from Capital Dance. She's a great, great female who's cutting her way through the industry. Mm-hmm. And she's recently signed with Capital Dance. So she's coming on, which is going to be great. Myself, we're going to have someone talking about the mental health within the industry as well, which I think is a very, very important thing.
Yeah, for real.
And we're working on one other female act as well, which should be really, really interesting. And yeah, we're putting all the final bits into place, and I'm not sure obviously when you're putting this out, but tickets for that will go out soon. But best way, head over to the Instagram at DM events, and you can find all the info on there.
Perfect. Reese, thanks for sitting down with me today, man. I appreciate your insight. I've definitely wanted to have you on here for quite a while, so yeah.
I appreciate you having me on. I want to touch on and say, I think congratulations to just you and Stylus, man, building this thing out that you've been grafting on for years. And I know you guys took a little hiatus and then you come back and you're at it again. And I think it's really, really great for the industry, great for the guys coming through. And there needs to be more of it in our space, especially within the UK. I feel like the US represents it quite well, but in the UK, we're within our industry, the UK is not very big. And a lot of us all know each other, you know, within the industry. Mm-hmm. So I think the work you guys are doing is really fantastic. And here's to many more successes in everyone's careers, man.
Yeah, thank you, bro. I appreciate it, man. Reese, been a pleasure. Until the next one. So everyone listening, is at Talk Over Pod. This is Talk Over Podcast. My name's DJ Double. Don't know where Stylus is. He's flying around the world somewhere today. I have no
superstar Stylus
fucking idea where in the world he actually is. But yeah, he's somewhere sunny because I saw it on his Instagram. And Reese EV Pro. So yeah. Yes,
at EV Pro on at EV Pro on all socials. And if anybody's got any questions about content, anything, hit me up, drop me a DM. I'll be more than happy to respond.
Perfect. Thank you, my guy.
Love. Thank you, man.